For those of you returning home from your holiday or planning your next vacation, WBUR's Steve Brown has a word of warning for you this morning. If you share a name with someone wanted by law enforcement, you may run into some trouble at the border. He learned from experience, an experience that started with a routine trip home from a vacation in Canada. Steve Brown picks up the story in Maine, where he got an unexpected and close-up look at U.S. border security.
Well, I just crossed over the border here in Calais, Maine, after a wonderful vacation. I met up with some relatives in St. John, New Brunswick, had some delicious meals, and did some sightseeing. Everything was perfect and worry-free until I handed my passport to the U.S. customs agent here. Alarms started going off. I was told by the agent he had to do some things that were going to be very embarrassing.
I was instructed to get out of my car and walk slowly to the rear of the vehicle. The officer told me to place my hands on the back window as he gave me a quick pat-down. The officer, who was professional and courteous the entire time, told me to place one hand behind my back and then the other as he placed a set of handcuffs on my wrists. As this surreal scene unfolded, I knew I had to find out why this was happening to me.
Unfortunately, when we are out there on the land borders at the various crossings, we really don't know who's coming at us.
That's Kevin Weeks, Director of Field Operations for the U.S. Customs and Border Protection in New England.
And so we get a quick alert based on some preliminary information.
While here at the border, I was paraded through a waiting room with long lines of people waiting to process their papers at the desk, my hands cuffed behind my back. Everybody was looking at me as if I was some sort of a criminal. Probably thought I was. Probably robbed a bank. Maybe murdered somebody. Anyway, I was paraded through that room, told to sit down on a granite seat near a window in this large room, as the border agents began typing frantically into some computers.
Once the issue is transferred to what we call our secondary area, then we can do some more research, and we will have much more information off of your travel documents and other identifying pieces of information.
Field Director Weeks sat down with me after I returned to Boston. He refused to speak to the specifics of my detainment at the border, citing agency policy. He did allude to what sometimes can happen when that preliminary information gleaned from my passport looks very similar to information in the agency's criminal databases.
Obviously, once we have more time to reconcile the information, date of birth, and things of that nature, then it gives us a comfort level that this is the individual that we're not looking for.
And as I knew from the beginning, I was not the individual they were looking for. After about 15 minutes, an officer removed the handcuffs and told me that next time he'd use them on a real bad guy. They returned to me my passport and pocket knife and told me I could be on my way. But still it troubled me that I, an individual who never as much got a speeding ticket, would be handcuffed and perp-walked through a crowded customs hall.
I was a bit surprised to hear about the fact that you were put into handcuffs. But nevertheless, since the origin of the Republic, even before the passage of the Fourth Amendment, the First Congress provided the sovereign with the right to conduct border searches.
Northeastern University law professor Daniel Medwid tells me customs and border officers must have reasonable suspicion to go beyond a routine search.
Clearly, there was a mistake. Your name, which is a relatively common one, Steve Brown, and your date of birth presumably triggered something in their database. Maybe there's a Stephen Brown, meets a similar demographic profile, who is wanted for something, who's been arrested, or maybe there's a warrant. So based on those facts, perhaps the authorities had reasonable suspicion, even though it was flawed. Mm-hmm. There was a mistake in the system. Had the system been accurate, perhaps somebody who is a threat to the country might have been apprehended.
So while still perturbed to have been placed in handcuffs by my government, I'm assured it is very rare. Customs and Border Protection claim they don't know how many people like me are detained, although one officer in Calais mentioned to me it happens there about three times a week. However, officials will not confirm that figure. Official statistics show that of the more than 1.6 million people who entered the U.S. through the port of Calais, Maine in fiscal 2012, about 50 actual arrests were made for various offenses. Still, if being detained in handcuffs can happen to me, it can happen to anyone, especially if you share a name with a wanted criminal, a fact that isn't lost on Field Director Weeks, who just happens to share the same name as James Whitey Bulger's longtime aide-de-camp. Weeks told me detainees are placed in handcuffs to keep a situation from getting out of control.
Really, the use of handcuffs is to keep the circumstances of why that person's being detained and to de-escalate what could be a very escalated discussion, very animated, could even cause some unanticipated actions by the person being detained, which would cause a response by the officers.
The government has not told me exactly why I was detained in handcuffs or who, if anyone, they first thought I might have been. Weeks assures me now that Customs and Border Protection has a little more information about me, it is highly unlikely I would be put through this again the next time I re-enter the United States. But as a little extra insurance, I have his business card paperclipped to the back of my passport. I may want to return to Canada for a visit sometime in the future, but I'll never cross the border back into my home country without reliving this experience. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Steve Brown.